over all of the chaos that you've had, all of the things. If that's you, I just want you to begin to open up that heart and just say, God, fill this heart with peace right now. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I plead the blood of Jesus over every single person, Lord, that's here in the place, God, that's watching online. And Lord, I thank you right now, God, that they walk in divine health, that they walk in divine peace. God, I speak to addiction in this place, and I bind it up, and I tell it to leave. Right now, I loose recovery into the lives of the folks here, God, that are bound in addiction. Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do in this service. God, we turn the service over to you. Lord, I speak a hedge of protection over every church in Logan County. God, I thank you, Lord, that from the beginning to the end that you have each and every single one of us. God, there's not a detail of our life, God, that's fallen through the cracks of your hands. And so, Lord, we thank you. God, we love you this morning, and God, we praise you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And I'm going to ask everyone to do one more thing. We are going to pray for Jack Schaefer here. Y'all just stretch your hands to him. There's some health things that are just uncertain right now. But I'm going to pray divine healing and divine health. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I loose healing. God, I loose divine health right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that Jack lives out every one of his days that you've got ordered for him. I cancel any health problems right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just void them out. I speak to every diagnosis that doesn't line up with your word, and I call him healed right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you that he's getting good reports in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, y'all go with me this morning to Mark chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 35 through 41. It's so good to see everyone out this morning. And I have no desire to be like any other pastor that's out there. And so I may offend you, or I may just really ring your bell this morning. I'm not sure which one I'll do, but whatever the case may be, here we are. And Parish Christian Center is an interdenominational ministry. It's been that way since the very beginning of time in 1987 when we established the ministry. I am not here to preach doctrine to you or theology and all the history. You can do that for yourself. If you want to know all of that, get into his word, read about it. And I'm going to teach you today how to do everyday life. Live every day in Mark chapter 4. And I'm at this point in the service, I'm going to ask everyone to be fully present. I'm going to ask you not to just sit there and wondering how the crock pot's doing that you got on your countertop, what you're going to eat, how much you're going to gripe your husband out. I want you to be fully present, because God's got something for you. I'm going to ask you to turn your phone off, or it will not be a distraction in the service. Church attendance doesn't get you to heaven. Hallelujah. But it does help you to get there. As much of it as you can get inside of you. And if you got a pastor that'll tell it like it is, you're in good shape. Mark chapter 4, we're going to look at verse 35 through 41. And that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Here's Jesus. He's in the boat. He's getting his disciples. And he looks at them and he says, "Let's go to the other side." And I believe that God is saying that to many, many people here this morning. I believe that he's saying that to many people that will watch online. He is saying, let's go and let's get on the other side of what you're going through. Amen. Let's get on the other side of the thing that's had you depressed for months or years or who knows how long. Let's get on the other side of the anxiety. Let's get on the other side of the family problem. Let's get on the other side of what's really bothering you. Because what I want to explain to you is that the biggest slap in God's face is when His children are unhappy, because He's done everything that He could possibly do to make sure and to ensure that you have your best life. And there's things that the devil tries to tack onto us, and we accept them because we say, well, that's life, or well, my mama was that way, or well, that's just how it is. No, that's how a sinner can have their life. But see, there's a promise for the believer. Because if life was just this way, Jeff, what hope would we have? But see, the Lord came that we would have life and have it in abundance. He says, in Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. And what that means is, if we'll live in Him, if we'll be in Him, and if we'll have our being in Him, there's a promise for us that's for people that claim Him. For the people that say, yes, I'm going to follow after Jesus. I encourage you to take Him by the hand this morning and to say, God, I want to go on to the other side. I want to move on to something better in my life. You know, if you're sitting there in your seat and you're miserable in your life, that is bringing no glory to God. How many of you have children today? How many of you got children? Here's what I know. Inside of the heart of every parent, you ask a parent, what do you really want for your children? One of the top three things that people are going to say is, I just want them to be happy. Let me tell you something. You ask Daddy God, who's the best parent that there is, what do you want, Daddy God, for your kids? He's going to say, I want them to have a good, blessed life. It's time that you start enjoying your life again. There's some things that you have got to get on the other side of. And you don't have to do that alone, but what God needs from you is just to say, I want to go. I want to go. Sometimes we've become so used to the miserableness of what we're going through that we've accepted it and we don't feel the need to evict it. Now, this won't do you any good if you don't get this inside of you and you walk out here and live it out. That is the point of a sermon, is to challenge you and for you to walk out and you be changed and different and you live it out. I'll tell you what I'll never preach about again, I hope, to good Lord. Irritability. Because poor me and Mr. Frank have had nothing but irritability since I decided to preach on that last week. And by about Monday, he said, don't ever. He actually said, woman, don't ever preach about irritability again. You get on a several-hour conversation with customer service, and I don't know where they live, but his name was Fernando. And, you know, when I was growing up, my dad would get salesmen on the phone, customer service on the phone, and he'd witness to him, he'd minister to him, he's led people to God, all sorts of things. And Frank and my dad, believe it or not, they are actually a lot alike in a lot of ways. And Frank was on the phone with customer service, and he was on the phone with Fernando. They're both horrified at that statement. But Frank was on the phone with Fernando, and he goes, Fernando? Do you believe in the devil? And I thought he was going to say, do you believe in Jesus? But he didn't. He goes, Fernando, do you believe in the devil? He said, because let me tell you something. The devil is real. Because my wife preached about irritability, and all I've had since she preached was the devil throwing irritability at me. And I was sitting there thinking, well, that's a good angle to get Fernando saved. I guess that'll work, you know. But in all seriousness, you got to live the sermon out. Today I want to minister to you on how we're going to get to the other side of what you're going through. Because you can't stay there. If you stay there, you're going to be miserable and unhappy, depressed, stressed, anxietied up, don't want to do nothing, unmotivated, unambitious. God needs you to decide, I want to get to the other side of where I'm supposed to be. And nobody can make that decision for you. If you're sitting there and you've accepted the stuff that you're not happy with, that you can only blame you for that. You don't have to accept that. And here's Jesus, and he's telling his men, let's go to the other side. We're all in the boat. Let's go to the other side. Verse 36, leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. Now, I'm going to break this verse down. There are some things to get to the other side and to be where you need to be. There are some things that you need to leave behind. There are some people, there are some places, and there are some things that you need to leave behind. Some of the biggest things that hold us up are those matters of the heart. Well, I can't do that because, well, you know, we get these heartstrings attached to certain things. And I'm going to tell you something. Your heart is deceitful, and above all, who can know it? Your heart has the ability to lie to you. And because of that, you can't trust it. And you have to guard it because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the heart comes the matters of life. And so there's things that I believe some folks need to leave behind to get to that place, to get on the other side of what you're going through. And it says, a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. And Jesus was in the stern, and he was sleeping on a cushion. And the disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? And I want to minister to you this morning that yes, he does care. Amen. He does care about what you're going through. Amen. But while you're fretting, he's still in perfect peace. There isn't anything that you're going through, that you will go through, or that you have been through, that ever caught God by surprise. There's lots of things that caught you by surprise, but there is not one thing that has ever caught God by surprise concerning you. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the one thing in this world and in this life that is not going to change. In a world where everything is changing, nothing stays the same, everything seems like it's been shaken upside down, people are weird. How many of you know that people are just weird nowadays? Okay. And if your hand's down, you're probably one of the weird ones. And I'll recant that statement because here's what I know after dealing with people my entire life. Everybody's weird. Everybody's weird. Everybody's got a strange strand. Somebody was sitting there, and they were having some type of family problem. I don't even know where I was this week, but somebody was having a huge family issue, and I was sitting there with them, and they were just horrified that I was seeing. I can't even remember. That's the beauty of this thing. God has given me that little squirrel brain, so I don't have to remember certain things because I can't tell you what it was or where I was. Yeah. And I looked at that person, and I said, don't worry, this is in every family. In a world where we want to just cover up everything that we're ashamed of and that we're embarrassed of and that we are worried about, the day that you just stop doing that, you're going to be on your way to being happier because you know what? That's a lot of stress to feel like you've got to cover up every little single thing that embarrasses you about your life and that you're ashamed of. All of the things that we stress over in life, why don't you just commit to being the very best version of you and leave the rest of it to God? I said, why don't you just commit to being the very best version of you and leaving the rest of the things up to the Lord? Because if you continue to fake everything, you're going to wake up one day and not have a clue who you are or what you stand for. And that's exactly what has happened in today's world, where we have accepted some of the dumbest things, some of the filthiest things. Now, I'm not going to get into those things because we're going to keep this positive this morning. What's the matter with everybody today? I said we're going to keep it positive. We're going to keep it positive. You're hanging on every word. I appreciate that, Leslie. Somebody told me the other day, pastors shouldn't be in politics. I said, you know what? That's exactly what's wrong with the world today. If pastors deserve to be in politics, maybe some things will get straightened out. Now, you can't get them fake pastors up in there. Things will get worse. But what? Let me tell you. There are certain things pastors should be all up in. But because of the fear of man, there's a lot of pastors that have gotten afraid to do certain things. And I told the leadership of the church, I told Daddy, I said, look here, the message isn't going to change. And the one person we don't want leaving the church is Jesus. Let's continue on here. So there comes a big storm. They go down there. We've all heard this story. They say, don't you care? Yeah, God cares. If he didn't care, he'd just leave you alone. Do you ever realize in the worst of the worst how much God just kept on messing with you? How much that he was so faithful and he just was always there? Yeah, he cares. He cares more than you could ever even know. And so he got up and he rebuked the wind and he said to the waves, quiet, be still. And then the wind died down and it was completely calm. We've gotten into such a society where churches and church services are such cookie-cutter things that we go there, we expect to sing three songs, we're going to clap this many times, there's going to be this many specials, they're going to, you know, and all these things become so structured and so routinistic that we're like, oh, well, this is just, you know, we get into this, and then we start living lives that we don't even recognize because we're really not living them. We're just doing things out of a routine. Well, I'm going to go here, and I'm going to do this because this is what Mama did, and this is how, you know what? I would like you to get up out of that part of your life and just start living and start living for God and letting it be exciting and fun again. Your life doesn't have to be boring, and your life doesn't have to... Can I just really keep this real without really offending people? Now, if you're religious up in here, I am not going to be the greatest pastor for you because you're going to get offended at me very quickly. But your life doesn't have to just suck. There, and I said it. I sit by people all the time, and they're like, oh, I just hate my life. I'm telling you. God wants you to enjoy your life, and he wants you to enjoy being you. And there's people in here, and I don't know what's going on because this isn't even the biggest part of the message, but there's some people, and you've just accepted something that God never meant for you to accept. He just expected for you to go through it, and you just decided to camp there, and he's wanting to get you out of there. He's wanting to get you out of the camping spot that you've been up in for years, and he wants you to get to the other side of some stuff. How many of you have ever been camping? How many of you know that there's only so many days they want you and your camper and all your stuff there? They don't want you living there. They want you to travel on and go on. Well, so is God. He don't want you staying stuck where you're at, where you're unhappy, where you're sad, where you're depressed, where you're stressed, where you're worried. God wants you to live again. And be happy while you're doing it. Go with me to Psalms chapter 42. How many of you got to watch the devotional that I did the other night out on the lake? I'm going to tell you something. I haven't been able to go fishing with my husband in a long time. And that's something that we like to do together. And I'm not any good at it. I'll get tangled up. We'll get hung up. He'll tell me, don't throw it over there. That's exactly what I'm going to do next. We were just sitting out there, and something happens to me when I get out there, and it's because I'm just kind of boxed in, Cece. There's nowhere to go. So a lot of times my thoughts become very clear. And I started looking around the other night, and I just got tears in my eyes because I thought, you know, how anybody doesn't believe in God, I don't know. And then, I'm not the most observative person. I go too fast to observe stuff. Now, if it's in this church building and going on here, I'm going to observe everything. I know where there's cobwebs that need to be dusted. They've been there for a while. I know certain things. But everything else in life is just out there for me. And we get out there, and Frank goes, Kelly, look over there. There's a bunch of deer, and they're swimming in the lake, and they're trying to get to the other side of the lake. How many of you ever seen that? How many of you would like to see it? Well, I got my camera out, and I videoed it for y'all because it was one of the most beautiful things that I have seen in a long, long time. Brother Mike, do we have that? I'm not the best photographer, but is that not the most peaceful thing? Do you ever notice how God takes care of things and you're thinking, why do I ever worry? I don't know why we worry. It's human nature. But here's what I know about God. Nothing took him by surprise. And he already has it all figured out. So in Psalms chapter 42, verse 1, it says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. What that verse really means is, God, I desire you. You are what I desire. Many years ago, I was praying for somebody that I loved very much, and I was so frustrated because it didn't seem like anything was changing. And God directed my praying in a different way. And he said, Kelly, just pray for that person's desires. Pray that their desires would change. And many times we lack a deep desire for the Lord. We lack the yearning for Him. And I've gotten to the place in my life where I've learned many times not to make hasty decisions. Because I know that my decisions alone are not real great. And I know that God already has the decision made about what He wants to happen. And so a lot of times I'll say, Lord, I want Your will. What is Your will? Sometimes we look around at life and we think, okay, I've got this problem and here's how I'm going to fix it and here's what's going to happen. Or sometimes we look at life and we think, I don't know how this can ever be right again. I don't know how this is ever going to work. And you know, the way that it works is that it needs more of God in it. Is that it needs more of the Lord in it. You see that everything that they have taken Jesus out of, those are the first things that just start not going right. You know, when Madeline O'Hara decided she wanted to fight with the school systems and get God out of the school, that started something in the lives of youth that's never been quite right since. And of course the devil doesn't want Jesus inside of our kids. I don't know what you're going through this morning. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're up against. I don't know what is stressing you to the max. I don't know what's hurting you to the max. But here's what I can tell you. The only thing that it needs is more of God. Sometimes we're looking at a situation and it's so messed up and we're saying, God, how does this ever get fixed? And I'll tell you, one touch of His favor. One touch of His provision. One touch of His wisdom. You either want more of the Lord or you don't. You're either happy with where you're at right now or you're desiring more out of your life. How many of you say, I want more of God in my life? You really need as much of the Lord as you can get up in there. Go with me to Psalms chapter 63 and verse 1. Oh God, You are my God. You are my God. And I ask you this morning, what is He to you? What is He to you? What is He to you? A while back, I had the enormous honor of doing the funeral for our chief of police, Robin Ellington. And I love Robin, and I miss her tremendously. And I don't think there'll ever be another one like her. And the last place that she sat in this church was right where you're sitting. And when I met with the family, I asked her husband, I said, "What? You know, I've got a good picture of how Robin was as the mom, the grandma, the Mimi." And I asked her husband, I said, "What was she to you?" And he just broke and he said, "She was everything to me." And we think, what does God really, really want from us? How many of you ever wondered that? You just think, God, what do You really want from me? He wants to be everything to you. when you're stressed, when you're hurting, when you're broken, He wants to be the counselor and the comforter for you. When you're sick and your body is failing you, He wants to be the healer to you. Lord, whatever those sirens are, protect everybody involved. But God wants to be everything to you. How many of you can listen to a song about God and it just will bring tears to your eyes? Do you have a song that just, it does that to you? He just tell you something. You don't get no part of the message in here today. I want you to get this part. God loves you. He really just loves you. And He really does care about what you're going through. He wants to get you on the other side of it. And what He's asking you in here today is, are you willing to go? Are you willing to go? That's something that only you can answer. Are there things that happen in this life and they leave you forever different? Yes, there are. The loss of a loved one is one of those things. But I'm going to explain something to you. Life is like, as the Bible describes, a vapor. We're here one moment and we're gone the next. While you're here, God wants you to enjoy your life again. Whatever has happened that happened unexpectedly and you just can't, you're just saying, I don't even recognize my own life. I did not plan this. I did not plan for this to happen. And you're saying, I don't even know what to do. What you have to do is say, God, I want to go. I want to go to the other side of what I'm going through. He's not going to force you. He just wants to know, do you want to go? Do you want to go? It says, you are my God. I earnestly seek you. Now, if y'all are anything like me, when something major goes on in your life, I'm going to get on the telephone. I want to call Daddy. I want to call Sister. I'm going to leave Frank alone because I'm going to bother him the whole time I'm home. I'm not going to call him because he's going to hear it all night. You know, I believe David said in the Psalms that he quieted himself as a weaned child. You can go to everybody for the advice. You can go out to everybody to get on the same page as you and to see it your way. And none of that really matters in the big realm of everything. What you need is you need that moment with the Lord. God, I seek you. God, I choose you. Lord, it doesn't matter what this one says. It doesn't matter what that one says. We've gotten to the point in life where we care too much about what people think. And it's a huge disadvantage for us. And we think that we know what other people think. How many of you do that? I was working the sheriff's table yesterday. at HOK. There's two people in Arkansas, or really on the planet, that I would work a political table for. And I've done that 2 weeks in a row. One of them's Tanya Fletcher.
Oh, Tanya.
She's going to be the next state representative.
Amen.
Y'all need to vote. And then Sheriff Massey. Now, let me just explain something to you, okay? If I just offended you by telling you who I'm voting for, some people are like, I don't like this one, or I don't want, let me just tell you something. If you're that easily offended, you got lots of issues, okay? I was working that table yesterday, and somebody came by, and they had a pamphlet for someone else, and they were handing it to everybody around our table. That doesn't bother me, because I'm going to give all the kids all the cotton candy, and they're not going to care what y'all's doing, no how. And if you think their parents are going to be paying attention to who's handing out what pamphlet, they're not, because I'm going to sugar them up so much, all they're going to do is keep up with little Johnny. And she started handing me a pamphlet, and then she snatched it out of my hand. She goes, well, never mind, you're for the other one. Well, later in the day, see, I don't like people thinking they know how I think, because they're wrong. Because, you know, I don't even know how I think sometimes, okay? So ain't nobody else needs to go there. And I got her and I said, look, sis, that's really not the best approach when you're trying to help somebody with their political stuff. Because, see, you can't assume that you know anything about people. I said, but that person that's running, I like that person, and I don't have anything against them. So you don't got to be like that. We don't need to care what people think near as much as what we do. And we don't need to think that we know what other people are thinking. Because a lot of those two actions is what's keeping us stressed, upset, depressed. How many of you, you've ever saw someone in Walmart and they didn't look at you the right way and you went home and you thought, I wonder if they're mad at me or for something. Why did they look at me that way? A lot of women do that. That's too much energy on that. The other day I saw April in Walmart and I said, listen, don't judge me. I get one free day where there's no makeup and there's nothing fancy going on, and you have caught me in that day. I said, now you look great. And I know I look terrible, so just, this is it for the day. But what is God to you? What is He to you? Amen, friend. You need to know what He is to you. You know, I believe there's a lot of people, they get up and they go to church, they never even listen what the pastor says. I'm talking about nationwide. I was getting my hair done a few weeks ago. And there was a bunch of Catholic people in there, a bunch of Catholic women. And I love Catholics. I married one. So I don't want anybody's hate mail over this. But they were talking about our communion, people's communion that were non-Catholic. And they were saying how strange that it was. I never mentioned that I was a pastor. I never got in there and said, well, actually, we think y'all's weird. Well, then one girl in there knew I was a pastor, and she looked at the other one and she goes, they said, well, Kelly, how do y'all do it? I told her. And I said, you know, ladies, it's okay for y'all to think that the way that other people do it is strange. That's okay. I said, because to other people, they think you're strange. But I think the best thing about this whole conversation is it sounds like everybody's taking communion on a regular basis. Right, ladies?
Right.
Some of what you've got to leave behind to get to the other side is all of the stuff. Well, I think this. Well, this one thinks this. But it don't matter what anybody thinks, but what God thinks. That's it. That's all that matters. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. I think the saddest thing that our world has going on right now is the way that we have allowed our youth to be very confused. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, it says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." For they will be filled. There's a lot of emptiness with people. It's the emptiness that makes people want to commit suicide. It's the emptiness that keeps people going back to drugs. It's the emptiness that makes people step outside of their marriage. It's the emptiness that we have inside of us. And people are looking for something. And a lot of them, Billy, they don't even know that what they're really looking for is God. Because the Word says that blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. For they will be filled. Everybody's looking for the next thing that's going to make them happy. Why is that? Because nobody stays happy for very long. Why? Because happiness is fleeting. What are you really looking for? Joy. Joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. Happiness should never be the actual goal. Joy should be, because joy doesn't leave when there's a bad problem. Joy doesn't, you can keep your joy and be going through a lot of stuff. I had Coco in the car with me the other day. How many of you ever had Coco pray for you? That little kid. I don't even know where kids like that come from. And then I think, Lord, you trusted me with them. But there was a lady, and she was telling me that her husband, they thought he had cancer. She said, Pastor Kelly, please don't tell that. And I said, I'm not going to tell it to anybody. I go, I pick Colton up from school. And I said, Coco, we're going to call Miss So-and-so. And whatever God puts on your heart to say to her or to pray for her, Coco, I just want you to be led. He's my little 10-year-old, Kevin. I said, I just want you to be led by God to take that prayer wherever you feel like it needs to be. We get her on the phone. I kid you not. Within 5 minutes, that kid had already prayed for the exact thing that the woman had told me 2 or 3 hours before in that day. And the last thing that he said in the prayer was, and God, fill Miss So-and-so up with your peace. You think, how many of you thought this week there's just certain things you're just unhappy with in your life? You just, there's just that thing and it's there and you're just like, I don't want that in there, and it's just there. When we have that, there's an emptiness in there. I like to be running on full all the time. Frank gets in my car. Every time the man gets in my car, he'll go fill it up with gas. He knows I like to go all the time. But if you're running on empty, this is how to get full. There's something in your life and you're saying, this just isn't going good for me. This isn't going the way that I thought life was going to go. Pray for your own desires. Lord, help me to desire what you would have for me. Sometimes what you want and what God wants, they clash. And there's that inner tug of war. And God's just waiting for you to yield and say, God, I'll do it your way. God, I want to go to the other side. Last place for me this morning, John chapter 3 and verse 30. I like to keep people on their toes, because a miracle is about to occur. We're going to get out of here before 12 o'clock. John chapter 3, verse 30. I believe that every successful person that God has blessed and that God has made them a success, this is what they have to come to in their life. He must increase, but I must decrease. And what that means is, God, you've got to be more in my life, and I've got to be less. Some of us know what God wants us to do and what God expects of us, but because we're so headstrong, there's more of us in our life than there's actually God. And then we sit back at home and we wonder, and we're crying on the sofa or in the recliner. We're going, well, God, why isn't stuff working out? And it's because there's too much of you and what you want and not enough of just God. What do you want? What would you have? He must increase, but I must decrease. And that's not a negative thing. That's the most powerful thing that we can really realize, is that, you know what? The more of God that I have in the situation, the more of God that I have inside of me, that's what I really need in my life, is I just need more of Him. I need to shift my desires to where I'm desiring Him. I love y'all this morning. Y'all stand to your feet. Jeremiah, are you tearing up my decorations? I'm just playing with you. Jeremiah is a very big blessing. He really is. He is. We love y'all. Brother Paul, I'm going to ask you to do something. Come up here. Paul is, gosh, I've got like an ocean of respect for this man. And he has a pair of boots. Not these ones, but he has a pair I really like because they're super fancy. And he shines them when he wears them. Brother Paul, will you speak a blessing over folks and then just dismiss the service in prayer? Yes, sir.
Well, you sang the blessing this morning, and I can't repeat that word for word, but I can guarantee you the Lord will bless you if you obey Him. And that means in everything you do. And don't be tightwads when it comes to tithing. Now, that's not part of the blessing, but you will be blessed if you tithe. You can't outgive God, I can guarantee you that. I tried it. And I lost a lot of stuff because I tried something foolish. But anyway, the blessing, you heard it today in the song. You need to practice it, and you need to do like the pastor said, decrease, and He'll increase. That's a promise from God. I don't know all the fancy words.
I want to do a blessing because it's Pastor Appreciation Month. Does anybody appreciate Pastor Kelly?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll do what y'all do. I'm going to do what I do.
You interrupted me, Sam. I'm glad. I could take a blessing like that, too. Well, I'm going to dismiss. Heavenly Father, how do we say thank You for the message this morning, God? Teach us to follow Your word. Lord, I can guarantee through Your word that whatever was preached today is a good example of what we need to step into. Now, Lord, we ask You to dismiss us from this place, but never from Your presence. Amen.
Amen. Y'all, there's a box of food for every family back there.